It's time for Caffeinated Comics, a lively discussion and debate on comics, film, television, and collectibles, all fueled by the magic of Frappuccinos. Caffeinated Comics is sponsored by Chimeras Comics. Chimeras is your one stop for comic books, graphic novels, hero clicks, Magic the Gathering, and more. Explore the fantastic at Chimeras Comics. Now, here's your hosts, John and Steven.
Thank you, Caffeinated Comics. I'm your host, John Clark. With me is 97% always is my co-host,
Steven Brown.
And it is Friday night. It is December 30th. And it is time for our year-end wrap-up, which for the first time in the 4 years we've been doing this podcast, I don't want to do it.
Yeah, I'm. This is probably the worst year-end.
This has not been a good year.
I don't know anyone. It's hard to say because, like, very dear friends of mine got married this year. There was good stuff in this year.
Well, you know what? Let's try to do that because I think the biggest thing to talk about this year, and we could probably spend the whole show, is talking about the amount of people that have died. It seems to have been inordinately big, and there were so many theories about why. It's like, oh, well, most of these are baby boomers, which were heroes of Gen X and millennials, and they're passing on. But then there have been, you know, young people dying. People have been dying in their 90s. People have been dying in their 50s.
Yeah.
So Carrie Fisher died this week since our last podcast. Which is, you know, devastating.
And she was only 60.
She was 60. She had completed filming for Star Wars Episode 8. So we are going to see a lot of Carrie Fisher in the next Star Wars. They're not going to have to work around her. But then the next day, her mother, Debbie Reynolds, died.
Yeah. Was that related at all? Like, was it like stress?
They're thinking it might be. They're thinking it might be the stress. There was a report that said she was planning the funeral and said, I just want to be with her. And then the next day she was gone. And, you know, Debbie Reynolds was the girl in Singing in the Rain. Like, she was a huge, huge celebrity. So alone, that would have been enormous. You know, alone, if you said this was a year that David Bowie, Prince, Alan Rickman, and Carrie Fisher died, that's already a huge year.
Yeah.
But it's been like everybody 3 weeks. This was the year Darwin Cook died.
Yeah.
You know, Glenn Frey died. There were so many people. That Schneider from One Day at a Time died. Abe Vigoda was 94.
Alan Thicke was in his 60s, wasn't
he? Alan Thicke died, yeah.
But he was young. That's what I'm saying. It's like some of these people, they weren't old people that died, you know?
No, and I'm looking through the list. Harper Lee, who wrote To Kill a Mockingbird, died. George Kennedy died. I'm looking through the list. I figured we'd have a list to check about all the people that passed away. Nancy Reagan, George Martin. Emerson from Emerson, Lake and Palmer. Frank Sinatra Jr. died.
Jesus.
And you know what? I can't even scroll through this goddamn list fast enough. Gary Shandling. There's a channel called Antenna TV that I discovered. You know how like it's like below MeTV. There's like MeTV, then there's Antenna TV.
Okay.
And I've been watching a lot of it, and they just show old reruns. And I've been watching a lot of Barney Miller. Because Hal Linden, who played Barney Miller, was on Gilbert Gottfried's podcast. And he was telling all these stories about the show. And I was like, you know what? That was a good show. And they show it every night. So I've been watching these old episodes. And they showed an episode of The Tonight Show from 1983 where both Carrie Fisher and Gary Shandling were on the panel.
Wow.
Sitting next to each other, talking to Johnny Carson, who's also dead.
Yeah.
And it the two of them were just so young. It's... Patty Duke died this year. Oh my God. The voice of Admiral Akbar also died.
Oh, did he really?
No. Eric Bauersfeld died. Jeez. Merle Haggard.
Gene Wilder died.
Gene Wilder, that was a big one. Doris Roberts, the mother from Everybody Loves Raymond, died this year at 90. Who was just in a Barney Miller when she was like 40. I'm still scrolling through this. Billy Paul, Morley Safer. Alan Young, the guy from Mr. Ed. Nick Menza, Muhammad Ali died this year.
Oh, yeah, shit.
Like, I have to scroll.
Yeah, that's like a thing. It's so many big names. It's like I'm forgetting huge names.
Oh my God, Anton Yelchin died this year. He was 27.
He was the guy from Star Trek, right?
Yeah, he was Chekhov from Star Trek.
Yeah, and like a freak car crash.
Yeah,
thing.
And a like car accident. Like they recalled all the
automobiles
after he did that. And they had to dedicate Star Trek Beyond both to Anton Yelchin and Leonard Nimoy. Leonard Nimoy died in 2015.
Yeah.
And Lemmy from Motorhead, who I thought died this year, actually died in December 2015. So there's like people we don't have to mention.
Yeah.
Just because they got in under the wire.
But still, it's been a lot. And, you know, like I said, I don't know if it's...
The original Lois Lane died at 95, Noelle Neal. From the 50s Superman show. From the George Reeves Superman show. Gary Marshall died. Creator of Happy Days.
Oh, Jesus.
Passed away. Miss Cleo, the psychic, died.
Yeah, I remember hearing about Miss Cleo.
I'm still scrolling. Kenny Baker died. There's a lot of Star Wars deaths.
Yeah, that's him and what's Leia?
Yeah, and Admiral Akbar. It's just...
It's a trap.
No, it is a trap.
So with this saying, it's not like this isn't like an abnormally high. Like, what's the reasoning? Like,
I think it is the last theory I read was just because we are barraged by news thanks to social media, is that nothing has a chance to sink in, and like we're here. Steve Dillon died this year, and Darwin Cook.
Oh yeah,
Leonard Cohen, Robert Vaughn, Leon Russell. Oh, I like there. Florence Henderson died.
Yeah.
The mom on the Brady Bunch. Fidel Castro.
Yeah, Castro. I mean, I don't know. I'm kind of maybe a little sad about this. I don't know if this guy was such as maybe it was bad. I don't know about history.
Ron Glass died, who was on Barney Miller.
Yeah.
And he was booking Firefly. Passed away. Wait. Emerson and Lake from Emerson, Lake, and Palmer. Both died this year.
Two guys out of that?
Two out of the three guys.
Yeah.
In that band.
And there's still time left in 2016.
There's one
day. As of this recording.
There's one day.
That's what I'm saying. Everyone's like...
Zsa Zsa Gabor died.
Yeah.
But like 99. Like some people. George Michael. On Christmas.
Yeah, but George Michael, same thing. Wasn't he young?
George Michael was like 54.
Yeah.
And that's the thing.
So but like he was on like heroin or something.
Yeah, that's coming out. But you can't, like, but Prince was, like, 53.
But Prince was on those painkillers that are the opioids or whatever.
But the thing is, it hasn't been one generation that's been passing away.
It's people all over.
Across the spectrum, and there's been no time to react to any of it. And that, more than anything, that's what shaped 2016, was like, oh my God, who else has passed away?
Yeah.
And with the way things are going, I'm wondering if all of them know something we don't.
Well, it's like, you know, everyone's
I'm
like,
getting out of here before 2017.
And I think that's my issue, is everyone's like, God, I can't wait for 2016 to be over. Do we really? Does anyone think 2017 is going to be any better? Am I missing something? Is like anyone looking forward to something in 2017 that's going to be awesome?
The surprise is gone. It's like the sequel to a horror movie is never as scary.
Right.
That's 2017 is Nightmare on Elm Street 2.
This was the year when, like, remember Clowns? We had like weird clowns running around, like that crazy shooting in Florida, biggest mass shooting in the history of a country, that nightclub, the Pulse or whatever it was, that got shot up. It's like, it's been a fucked year, man.
The creepy clowns, the best thing about the creepy clowns was that a guy dressed up as Batman and beat them all up.
Well, not all of them, but
well,
he was
as many as
he could find.
So that helped.
Yeah.
So there was no Doctor Who this year. We got one Christmas special, which honestly wasn't that good. The most movies kept tanking. I think.
Really, I thought most of the movies this year were good.
No, a lot of them bombed. I mean, this is the year of Batman versus Superman.
Yeah. So I mean, that one sucked. But
that sucked. I mean,
Civil War was great.
Civil War is fantastic.
Doctor Strange was good.
Doctor Strange is good. Rogue One was really good.
I liked
good.
Rogue One. I liked Suicide Squad, though. I only did see it the one time.
I did not. I am thinking about buying the Blu-ray to watch the extended and seeing if it changes anything.
If it has more Joker in it, it's probably going to suck.
Yeah. The extended edition did help Batman vs. Superman, but it didn't make it a good movie. I loved Star Trek Beyond, but it bombed.
I missed that. Jungle Book, I saw. That was great.
Oh, Jungle Book is now on Netflix, and I haven't seen it yet.
That's how I saw it. It's there. It's great.
But there were good movies, but they didn't do well. Ghostbusters didn't do well.
I heard it sucked.
It was okay. Yeah, I saw it. I saw it twice, actually.
I wanted to see it. I just never got to it. That's the thing. I think I missed so many movies this year. Yeah,
Deadpool was this year. Deadpool was great.
I actually like Deadpool.
I know, and you hate Deadpool.
Yeah. Cubs won the World Series this year.
People seem to like that.
That was a big popular thing in the
people who are not as nerdy as me seem to like that.
That Kaepernick guy, the protest he did, people went like lost their fucking minds over.
People were both angry and happy about it. Yeah,
over a guy taking a fucking knee during the anthem.
Yeah, well, you know, race relations were not great in 2016.
I think they're probably people have said this. I think I who knows. People are like, they're worse now than they were before the Civil War. And it's just like,
no, they weren't.
We had slaves, we were enslaving
them and fought, and half the country killed the other half of the country to keep that going.
Yeah. Now, if you want to say that we're headed towards a second Civil War, I'll grant you that I feel like we might be headed towards a second Civil War. But I to say things are worse than when black people had no rights at all, I think is a little ignorant.
Yeah. Well, and that's the what I'm reading now is just we're so barraged by the now. We're constantly like consumed by the now that we're losing a lot of perspective. I mean, we did have a black president for 8 years.
Yeah, you know, but
things are getting a little. And this is a lot of what we're seeing is the backlash to that.
I think so.
There's a lot of people that don't want this kind of progress. They're not comfortable with this kind of progress. I know there's people that listen to this show that voted for Trump. And we have said a lot of things about Trump on this show.
Yeah.
We're not a political show, but you and I are kind of
in agreement. I don't want to hide, I think, like, you know, hey, look, this is, you and me are going to be fine. You know what I mean? Under Trump presidency.
Because we're white people?
Because we're straight white people. I think my concern comes from, like, Hillary wouldn't have been any better, but my frustrating bit is like, remember how mad everyone was about her emails? And it's like, do you really care about her emails this much? And then this dude is like putting in people in charge of the EPA that don't believe in climate change. And it's just
like, pretty much every department head he is picking for his cabinet hates the department they are being given.
It's like a Legion of Doom you were saying the other day.
Have you seen the meme? The Star Wars meme that shows it's just Princess Leia like giving the data tapes to R2-D2.
Yeah.
And it says, look at Cricket Hillary storing her emails on a private server. And then the other one's Jabba the Hutt and goes, let's vote for this guy.
Right.
And the thing...
They're like Brexit. Same thing.
Brexit
it's
happened
like,
this year.
There's a lot of weird things as like a society as a whole we decided to do. Where
it's
there's
backlash,
like,
yeah.
There's like weird backlash to globalism or something they keep saying I hear.
But
and it's
you can't
just like,
stop it. It's like, and that's the thing about a Trump presidency. The thing that I try to calm myself down is this guy just says things. Like he tweets things and he says things and he backs up very little of it. So a lot of the terrifying things that we're worried about that are going to happen with the Trump presidency probably won't even happen.
I mean... Maybe
he might be a do nothing president because all he really wants is publicity.
Yeah, and I you know maybe, but I think it's just like I don't know.
Oh, we're in danger. I'll give you that.
Yeah, I mean this guy's gonna. I mean he almost started a fucking war with China over like a drone that fell into the ocean that they went to get for us. And
he's not president yet.
And he's that's my thing. The dude ain't even president yet, and he's already causing problems. Like, does anyone think that it's not gonna get like way worse than this? And I guess that's the thing is just I don't really have a whole lot of like hope, I think, for like 2017 being better. You know, every year I want to be like, this is my year. This is the year we get their shit together. But it's like, this year beat the shit out of me.
Well,
I
never have hope. I mean, we recorded this show in Chicago and this we had like a record amount of murders this year.
They said it was there's been as many murders in Chicago this year as 1990 was the last time the murder rates were this high.
Yeah, and we had a record for people leaving Illinois.
300,000
And
people.
We had a record for it being colder than other planets.
Yeah.
So locally.
But I think like as far as like the weather, it's just like the cold is like it sucks, but I'm used to it.
That's also climate change. Polar vortexes didn't have it before.
That's true.
This is the North Pole just kind of sliding over America for a week.
Right.
And this is the second time it's happened.
And I guess that's the thing, is just like, I don't know. I mean, it's like there's a large part of like, you call it, or what do you call it? Like, you know, where you're kind of like traumatized. But it's just like, well, what the fuck else is going to happen? You know, like Stanley's going to die. It's just like, all right.
Stanley's still alive. 94, turned 94 this week.
94.
Okay, let's chalk that up in the good things. Stan Lee turned 94 this
My week. Worry with statements like that is that, like, tomorrow he'll...
But, you know, we said that 5 years ago.
1 year will be correct.
Of course. 1 year will be correct about me.
Yeah.
Eventually, we all die.
Everyone's dying.
Eventually. But you know what? Stan Lee survived 2016.
So far.
Well, if he doesn't survive tomorrow, I'm erasing this podcast and we're going to do another one about Stan Lee.
We're going to have to start
Stan
over.
Goddamn Lee.
Yeah. Man.
But that was good. Stranger Things. People loved Stranger Things.
Stranger
this
Things was good. Westworld, I really
Westworld
liked.
Westworld was good.
That was another
yeah,
big
I liked
one.
It.
Civil War was great.
Yeah, we mentioned that. So there was some good television.
Yeah, this is S.
Daredevil season 2 was great. Luke Cage was great.
I never finished Luke Cage.
You just.
I'm really going to try to finish that before the year ends. Is this true? People are saying that we're in a golden age of television. You think we're in a golden age of television?
Yes, I think we are.
You think this is like as good as television's been in our lifetimes and probably will be?
Oh, definitely.
Yeah.
Definitely, because I thought in the 90s television was better than it ever been, and it was. And now it's very hard to watch a show from the 90s.
Yeah.
Like even watching Seinfeld or The X-Files or Star Trek Deep Space Nine. It's like compared to like Breaking Bad and Westworld and
Walking Dead, I guess, is pretty popular.
Walking Dead. Walking Dead had a rough season. I just watched Horace and Pete.
I have no idea what that is.
Horace and Pete was that was what is gonna be my greatest thing in the world 1 week. But Horace and Pete is a show. Louis C.K., instead of doing another season of Louis, he just had this idea for a completely different show. And he was like, you know what? FX probably isn't going to do it. So I'm just not going to do my show, and I'm going to do this show. And he spent his own money, and he hired Steve Buscemi and Alan Alda and Edie Falco, and he built some sets in Brooklyn, and he just did this show. And then he put it out on his website.
Yeah.
And it was $5 an episode, and he just like sent out an email. He's like, hey, I got a show.
Yeah.
Like, did no promotion just to see what would happen, because you remember a few years ago, Louis C.K. put out one of the stand-up specials on his website. He made $1 million in a day.
Yeah.
So he was like, well, if I can do that with a stand-up special, what can I do with a series?
Yeah.
Because he's like, because obviously we know what Louis can do.
Well, you know what I think what you're getting
from behind
him.
It. What about nothing behind it?
Yeah. I actually, you know, I might never see this show. I'm glad it sounded like this was
it
a good thing.
It is now on
you
Hulu.
Liked it?
It's,
all right, yeah, I'll
check
it out. It's
streaming free on Hulu, so I watch it on Hulu. It is the bleakest thing I've ever seen in my entire
Maybe
life.
Maybe I won't watch it.
It's so good.
But I think
and our friend Mark Normand is in 2 episodes.
Oh, is he?
Yes.
All right, I'm watching it.
If you go back, it's been a couple of years now, but Mark did one of our shows. It was a good friend of mine. It's a show about a bar. It's like Steve Buscemi and
Oh,
Louis
you were
C.K.
saying he's like a guy at the bar.
Their brother, Steve Buscemi and Louis C.K. are guys that own a bar together.
Yeah.
And there's like comedians just sitting at the bar, and Mark Norman's like sitting at the bar for 2 episodes.
That's great.
It's great, but it's completely bleak. And I'll just warn you, like, when you watch the first episode, the dark stuff that happens in that first episode is gonna keep happening.
Yeah.
And spoiler free, but when that series ended, I just went, ugh. And I had like 10 minutes of the last episode because I was falling asleep. So I got up bright and early the next morning. I was like, I'm going to finish this episode. Ugh.
I don't know if that's brave of you to watch that episode so early in the
day. But I will say, I watched that series in a day because I just couldn't stop.
Yeah. So it's good.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, you know, I kind of support anything where they like cut out people that are producers,
middlemen.
Yeah, because I think these people are the worst, especially like the more money they have and the more into like the Hollywood they are, you know, it's just like they're just a bunch of idiots who have a lot of money and are trying to make more money and have no fucking idea what they're talking about.
Well, the more money you make, the more worried you are that you won't make money.
Yeah, it's like they're more interested in making money than making like good film or good movies.
Well, and that's you know? What we've seen with Warner Brothers in DC. Like, how do we make that Marvel money? And then they've set both movies that they've come out with. They have second guessed them to death.
Right, and that's the thing I think is just there's too many chefs in the kitchen. They need like one dude who actually knows what he's doing, not Zack fucking Snyder, who's like, right.
No, what you know, need is Kevin Feige.
Yeah, they need a Kevin Feige.
Yeah, because Kevin Feige's been running the thing. We got Spider-Man in a Marvel movie this year.
Yeah, that's pretty cool. Good. And like I said, the giant man in Civil War was great.
That was
Black great. Panther was awesome.
Honestly, we could talk about Civil War for 45 minutes and just say that.
It's back
was
on
great.
Netflix. But yeah, so I think that was good. I really, there's not a lot of other things I can point to this year.
What'd you like in comics this year?
All right, that's a good place to go. This is a comic podcast, after all.
Sort of.
Yeah, well, yeah, every now and then. They did a great Red Wolf miniseries this year. Was really cool. There was a great Vision miniseries this year I liked
right,
a lot.
Right, Tom King. We were just talking about that before we recorded, who I believe had to end that series because they gave him Batman. I think he signed an exclusive with DC, and that's what ended Vision.
It's possible. It's also possible that book wasn't selling great. Yeah, it was like doing good.
Like a Superior Foes of Spider-Man kind of
book. Yeah, it was one of those books that kind of just flew under the radar. In fact, there's two new books this week that started. Or not this week, but recently. Occupy Avengers sounded like it was going to be a terrible book, but it's pretty awesome. It's basically Hawkeye doing like what the Green Arrow used to do, is like, I'm going to wander around America and solve, you know, like poor people problems.
And thereby confusing Green Arrow and Hawkeye
even further. And then they team him up with Red Wolf, who's like from the same miniseries where they're trying to bring, it's like a time lost Indian guy who's going to be the new Red Wolf. But it's a great book. It's awesome. I read the first and second issue. It's awesome. It was like really cool. So it's like there's good stuff in comics. Dan Slott's run on Spider-Man's been great.
I have loved Spider-Man this year. And I think I mentioned it on the show before, but I took a turn around the third quarter this year. I have been reading less and less Batman and more Spider-Man.
Yeah.
I love what Slott's doing. I was a little wary of the book when it relaunched, which was that this year or was that 2015? Because we're in issue 20.
It launched twice. It launched once in 2015 and then once in 2016.
So the run we're reading now is the 2016 launch.
Correct.
Which I didn't really like because it kind of turns Peter Parker into Tony Stark. And I'm like, well, we already have a Tony Stark and now we don't have a Spider-Man.
Yeah.
But once we got to this clone conspiracy, which I didn't think I was going to like.
Yeah.
I love. And they did an odd thing, which they haven't done with the last few big Spider-Man stories. Where things like Spider Island, Ends of the Earth, Spider-Verse, where Amazing Spider-Man was the main story, and then there were all these kind of one-shots and limited series which supported the story. In Clone Conspiracy, it's the limited series that carries the story, and Amazing Spider-Man is doing these side books.
Yeah,
which
they're definitely. I think they might have to do with them wrapping up, like, Civil War.
I think it has to do with sales as well. Yeah. It's like, you know what? The people that are reading Amazing are going to read Amazing, but they weren't picking up, say, Edge of Spider-Verse.
They're not going to pick up all the miniseries.
But,
yeah.
You know, now they have to pick up the miniseries. But it's been really, really, really great.
Well, you know, the miniseries, it's a good example. It's like they put A-list talent on the book. Instead of grabbing some Joe Blow nobody artist, they put Jim Chung on it. You know what I mean?
Right.
It's like you put a decent artist on it and have it written by Dan Slott, people will buy it.
And Slott's been on that book a long time, and he's not burned out at all. Like, he's constantly coming up with new stuff. And you know what? I love Spider-Man Deadpool. Joe Kelly and Ed McGuinness, who were the guys that really kind of made Deadpool what he was, you know, after Fabian and Liefeld created him.
Yeah, they took the ball and ran with it.
That Kelly and Ed McGuinness run is what made Deadpool popular and stand on his own. And them coming back and adding Spider-Man into the mix is really, really fun. The one thing I would say against it is there's a lot of fill-in issues. And they get, like, people like Seth Meyers and Paul Scheer just wrote this issue, the Christmas issue. They get, like, big comedians to write issues.
Yeah.
And kind of put their stamp on it. But, like, and I know Ed McGuinness is slow and he's not going to do all the issues, but I'm enjoying their run so much that I want it to be unbroken.
Yeah.
Like, I would rather it be a bi-monthly.
Yeah, it's like you'd rather they take their time and just them do the book.
And it's Spider-Man Deadpool. How long are they going to keep that going? It's
It's
Marvel team-up with one team-up every single month.
Right. And it's just like, it'll make it it'll go the distance. Like, it'll hit 30. But it's not going to keep going. We're not going to see 100 issues of this. Do you know what I mean? It's just like if it hits 30, we'll all be like, oh, good job. Books typically don't make it to 30 before getting rebooted.
Right.
You know, if it makes it past Marvel's next 0.1 relaunch bullshit, I'd be surprised.
Which they do every year now.
Every year.
And speaking of which, this was also the year where we ended the New 52 and we got DC Rebirth.
Yeah.
Which has as many mixed results as the New 52 did.
Yeah, and they, you know, it's just how it goes, I guess. They can't there's no way to please everybody, but it just seems like they're trying to do too many things at once. I've talked to Joe about this, Packovitz, and he was saying, you know, he sees it as like a shift every like 10 years or so, where one of the other companies starts putting out more interesting stuff than the other company. And him and a lot of other customers actually are dropping Marvel books and flocking to DC right now. And, you know, people should be reading, I think, whatever books strike their fancy, because I get very rooted in specific books that I like, and I won't be dissuaded because I'm a pig-headed person, or whatever you want to call it, arrogant, but like... Yeah,
and I'm more than you because I'm character loyal.
Right.
And I will suffer through a creative team that I hate because they're writing a character I love. And I go, well, I don't want a hole in my long box until right. the next good run happens. Whereas you follow talent from book to book.
Yeah. I'll read any book as long as it's got a team that I actually like working on the book. You know, so like, but like with DC, it just seems like, you know, they're doing good things with the Rebirth, but then the books are fucking twice a month. And it's like, who can afford these like $3.99 books twice a month? It's, they're out of their minds.
Right. And that's my problem, is I've cut so far back that I'm down to just Batman and Spider-Man. I'm down to my two favorite characters, and the secondary characters that I love, like Green Lantern, Flash, Iron Man, are out. Team books like Avengers that have Spider-Man on it,
yeah,
or Justice League that has Batman on it, out. And I'm still like, I barely can keep my head above water with these books twice a month, because you have Batman and Detective. Because
you were doing Batman, Detective, and All-Star.
Yeah. And you know what? I had to quit Nightwing.
Yeah.
Because I wasn't really enjoying it, even though it's a character I like. And I dropped Batgirl. Like, I had to drop a lot of the Bat titles. And Spider-Man. Spider-Man is essentially twice a month, because it's either twice a month, or right now with Clone Conspiracy, you get Amazing Spider-Man, then 2 weeks later you get the limited series.
Right.
But Spider-Man also now just has all of these secondary characters that I can't follow. Miles Morales has a book. Spider-Gwen has a book.
Spider-Woman.
Spider-Woman kind of walks that line between Spider-Man and Avengers. Silk has a book.
Yeah.
There's
Prowler miniseries.
Yeah, there's. Is that a miniseries? Or are they trying to make it an?
No,
ongoing?
I think it's four issues or something. It's just.
All right.
I'm literally ordering like one of these for the shelf.
Well, you had a couple of copies of one and two, and I asked you if they were worth getting, and you're like, it's the Prowler.
Yeah. It's like, I would have been reading it when I was in high school. Do you know what I mean? Yeah. It's like, I would have been all over this. I'd be like, this is great.
Well, the Prowler is a character, if you don't know, it's the first character John Romita Jr. created. However, John Romita Jr. was 12.
Yeah.
He basically went into his dad's studio and was like, I got an idea for a guy. He's a window washer that's a crime fighter. And John Romita Sr. is like, Stan's busy. He'll like it.
Sure.
And you saw him in like one story that John Romita Sr. drew, and then you didn't see him again until Spawn came out, and Marvel went, hey, we got a guy that looks like Spawn.
You know
and
what?
Put out a limited series.
Yeah, he did have a miniseries, and I for sure bought it when I was in high school.
And then they came out with another guy, Nightwatch.
Yeah.
Who looked even more like Spawn than Prowler.
Yeah, well, the Prowler miniseries was like the Prowler, Hobie Brown, chasing down a guy who stole his Prowler gear and was like a purple Prowler. So then he was in his green and purple costume fighting an all purple Prowler. And it was like evil Prowler.
So he couldn't even come up with a villain.
They literally just had the bad guy Prowler who just like stole his gear and like was like...
And removed one color from his uniform.
Yeah. And maybe he stopped wearing a cape or something. It was ridiculous.
I will say the figure that they made in the 90s, the Toy Biz Prowler figure.
Is that the one with the retractable claws?
Yeah, his fingers kind of stick out.
He's awesome. I had that figure.
Yeah. Big cape.
Yep. He was great because he showed up in the Spider-Man cartoon for one episode, and they fought a guy that was like he looked like Mr. Freeze, but he wasn't in a helmet. He was like Iceberg, and he was like a gangster, and he stole diamonds.
This was in the 90s Fox?
Oh, yeah, this really happened.
I don't remember this.
And Kingpin gave the Prowler his suit and then like double-crossed him because he was trying to overthrow Iceberg, and Tombstone was there. That show was crazy.
I will say, you give me a Prowler Marvel Legends, and I will be happy to buy him.
Yeah, they'll do them eventually.
Well, we know we're getting a set for Spider-Man Homecoming. And you know what? I can't count Spider-Man Homecoming as one of the great things of 2016 because it's coming out in 2017.
Hasn't happened yet, yeah.
But man, that trailer looks good.
Well, what do you say if you had to pick one book? What was the best book of 2016? Like, best comic. And I don't have an answer, you know what I mean? I'd have to, like, look at the shelves because I have a shit memory. But, like, Thor I really liked this year.
Yeah, I really enjoyed Star Wars, but I didn't keep up with it in 2016. I really loved it in 2015.
Yeah. I think I gave up on it this year. I think I read up to, like, you know, like I said, 12 or 15 or something, Spider-Man, whatever Vader Down was.
Spider-Man, I'm really loving it now, but I wasn't kind of loving it for a lot of, like, the stories before Clone's Conspiracy, I wasn't loving. And Spider-Man Deadpool has been, like, here and there.
Iron Man's been awful.
Iron Man's been terrible. I had to quit. And yeah. I have a run that goes back to the early 70s.
You know, also, X-Men books have sucked for, like, 3 years now.
X-Men, I only pick up, like, hardcovers because I have to wait a couple of years for people to say it's good and for the story to be over.
Yeah.
And I don't have a book past Messiah Complex, which is, like, 2008.
That's, like, 10 years ago.
I wanted to read Wolverine, and he doesn't exist anymore.
Nope.
It's like an old man Logan. I went through a point where I wanted to read some X-Men, and I had to go back like 10 years to find some readable X-Men stories. I read Bendis's all new X-Men, and it was terrible.
Yeah, it was cool because Immonen was doing the art, and that was about it.
Yeah. So, I will, you know what? I really loved seeing John Romita Jr. draw Batman in All-Star Batman.
That's cool.
It's not the best Batman story, that Scott Snyder has written.
It's not great, but it was a cool six issues.
Yeah, it's
you
fun.
Know, but it's over now, so it's just like,
well, there's another six issues with Jock, so maybe it'll be good. His run with the run they did together on Detective was good.
Yeah,
so we'll see.
So what's Romita gonna do now?
I don't know. I'm surprised he doesn't stay on it because he's so fast. That why wouldn't he just do all 12 issues? That I don't get. He did do that Dark Knight Returns one shot, which was good, and We've also had Dark Knight 3, which was supposed to end, like, back in April.
All right.
That's going to continue into 2017.
They're adding three more issues to that book.
So what are we going up to? Nine?
Nine. It was supposed to be six. Now it's going to be nine.
Yeah, well, number seven just came out.
Yeah, they're out of their minds.
No, and it's not really going anywhere.
No. And that's the thing.
It's all
just
about,
like,
these Kryptonians. It's not really a Batman story.
No, they're out of their
The best thing they did was that.
They're going to do a fourth one they want to do.
Yeah, but that's Frank Miller just talking.
He's crazy.
He's not well.
No.
So, like, I'm like, yeah, well, I don't know if you're going to make it to do a fourth one.
Maybe.
I don't know what. This thing is better than the second one. I'll give you that.
Yeah, but just about anything's better than that second right. one. That second one's pretty ridiculous.
You know, a sheaf of blank paper is better than the second one.
The second one is so bad, it almost ruins the first one. Mm-hmm. That's how bad it is. Like, year one's great. I love year one. I just got, they did an absolute version of year one. And it's great. It's a great book. And then Dark Knight Returns is great. And Dark Knight Strikes Again is fucking awful.
Yep.
And this new one just seems just as goofy and bad. It's just like some of these guys are just, they're past their expiration date, you know?
Yeah, I'm sorry.
Neil Adams is like that. You know, he's a sweet dude, but the guy's just, a couple crayons short of a crayon box.
Well, he basically did the Superman version of Batman Odyssey.
Yeah,
which is our favorite crazy book.
Yeah, and you know what? I picked that up this year. That was cool. They did Neil Adams Omnibus has all his Batman stuff,
including Odyssey
in it.
That's nice. Yeah. I have the oversized hardcover, so I have the 3-volume set. One of which he signed at the first New York Comic Con, so I can never get rid of that.
He's at Chicago all the time. It shouldn't be hard to get him to sign.
No, well, he does the continuity booth.
He'll sign there.
So he'll sign whatever you want there. Yep. So he does a lot of the conventions under the radar because he just brings his own company to Artist Alley.
Yep.
But I have that, and you gave me the Batman Odyssey hardcover.
Yeah, I wanted to see your take on it.
I believe I wrote...
You wrote a blog about it.
I did. I wrote a blog on the Chimera's Comics website when you guys were running a blog. It was before the podcast.
Yeah. Was that before the podcast?
Oh, yeah. It was definitely before the podcast. I wrote about 3 or 4 reviews for you guys.
Yeah.
It was about 6 months before we started the podcast.
Yeah, now this is just where the reviews go.
Yeah. We do have a very robust reprint and hardcover program. You and I buy a lot of omnibuses.
There
have been some wonderful artist editions.
That's, I think, one of the, I don't know how much of that started this year, but I feel like this year it kind of got ramped up to the point where literally today I was going through all my stuff and sorting out stuff to get rid of, stuff that I don't need to keep. And there's a fine line, I feel, and I've crossed it with like omnibuses and artist editions, where it's just like I got way more than I have room or right to have. It's like I have like Joe Kubert's like
tour,
and the one where he's he was drawing like airplane
above.
Enemy Ace, yeah. And it's like I like Joe Kubert, but I don't need a Joe Kubert tour artist edition. You know what I mean?
Well, you get to a point when you're collecting anything, and I run into it with figures all the time.
Yeah,
where you get the ones you really love, and then you're so excited when you get it that you're like, I want to get another one. So then you get like this next tier of stuff that's just cool to have.
Right.
And then all of a sudden you have most of them and you're like, well, why don't I have these other ones?
Yeah.
Like now there's a hole in my collection.
Well, it's like the Marvel's doing it with the omnibuses, where they do at least one, sometimes two or even three a month they solicit. And when I have a break month where there's one that I don't have to worry about getting, it's actually kind of nice. This last previews I just did, I didn't have to order any of them. Because it's like, I can't keep up on it. And it's just like, I don't have room for all this stuff. But it's like, to try to think to have this all, to be, have to read it, or... It's just, it's a very tricky thing to do. Collecting, you know what I mean? It's like, everyone has to, you have to find your, like, threshold. And I think I found it with the artist editions, where it's just like, I love Jack Kirby, but I don't need a Commandy, and I don't need New Gods. It's like, I need Thor, and if he does Fantastic Four.
And that's Four is coming out next
month. That's it. I'll have those two, and the rest of them I'll get rid of.
Well, and I'm having that. Yeah, I have John Byrne's Fantastic Four, and I recently, I got one of the John Romita artist editions a while
Spider-Man.
Ago. Yeah, Spider-Man. And then I just got the Gil Kane one because it had the Death of Gwen Stacy art, and I finally got a copy of the Death of Gwen Stacy. That's all I have. I will get the Jack Kirby Fantastic Four when it comes out, but you have to save them up. And with omnibuses, I have these floor-to-ceiling bookcases in the studio where we record, and every now and then someone will post a picture of it. Elliot posted a video the last time he was here to talk about Rogue One a couple weeks ago. And people always comment, where is this place? How can I get there? And if you see those, there's figures on the top shelves. There's Hot Toys. Right now there's some Marvel Legends. And then the bottom shelves are all hardcovers. And I have a lot of Archives and Masterworks. When those programs are really running, they've cut back considerably. Archives, I think, no longer exist. Marvel Masterworks are almost the price of an omnibus, so they basically priced themselves out of existence. But Marvel Masterworks now has like the first 200 issues of Amazing Spider-Man and Fantastic Four.
Yeah.
So it's always worth me getting the next volume. But with the omnibuses, I have a shelf on those bookcases that has broken twice.
Yeah.
From the weight of these omnibuses. It's is that crazy. They've just, over the years, they've just pushed the pin to the point where it ripped into the wood.
Well, that's why I have to do what I did today was I had to literally take everything off my bookshelves, and I had to flip the shelves over
because
they're
so
bowed. Yeah. And one of them, I had to put a fucking block, like a plank of wood in the middle to support it because it's too many of these fucking books.
Like
and
an
it's
old like, couch.
It is. And it's just like, I don't have like the greatest, best furniture. It's like shit from IKEA that I probably stole. But like, it's fucking ridiculous. And I think that's the problem is like, maybe it's like because it's the end of the year, this like clean out mood I'm in or whatever, but it's just sorting through all this stuff and just being like, and part of it comes from owning a comic book store. I don't know anyone who's ever owned a comic book store that didn't accumulate way more stuff than they should. I think it's just, it's a tricky, dangerous slope. And like I said, I was so excited when those artist editions started coming out because we've been wanting stuff like this for years. And now that they finally do it, you were just like, yeah, I'll take this one. Oh, look, cool, another one. I'll take this one. I'll take like a Mike Zeck book. Fucking Mike Zeck's great, but I don't particularly care about Mike Zeck over 1,000 other artists.
I was just looking at that Mike Zeck book. I might buy that row for you.
Well, I don't know. But
it has Secret Origin,
but that's what I'm
right?
saying. See, that's the thing is like, that's one of the ones I put in the don't get rid of this yet pile, okay. You know, but it's like I have EC hardcover. It's like, the biggest guy in it is Frank Frazetta. I like Frank Frazetta, but it's just like, do I need a book that has 12 pages of Frazetta and 150 pages of like a bunch of other dopes I've never heard of from some old EC or whatever? It's just like horror comic I don't care about. So it's just like, I think it's just trying to find that balance of like, how much shit you actually have room for. And when you look at an entire year's worth of shit you've accumulated, you know?
Yeah, I went through that. I had a freelance job that ended up running from December to October. So that's another thing that happened in 2016 was that I was unemployed for 2 months.
Yeah.
I'm going back to work in January.
Hey, there you go.
Which is good. But I had a couple of months off, so I sold a lot of stuff on eBay because I had time in my house that I didn't have before, and I was going through my collection. And it sounds like you're going to head into this now. Is there were a lot of these omnibuses and hardcovers where I went, that was a great story, and I'm glad I read it. I'm not going to read it again.
Yeah.
So I took like the entire Ed Brubaker Captain America run, which was 5 omnibuses, and put it on eBay. And within an hour, I had a guy going like, I'll give you this for it right now.
Yeah.
Because those are books that are in demand. And you know what? I'm glad I sold it to this guy. I got my money back from what I paid for them, you know, over the last 6 years. And he, you know, sent me a note when he got them. He's like, these are great. I'm so happy to have them. And I was so glad to have the space back on my shelf.
Yeah.
Because you know what? I'm glad I got to read his entire run, and I didn't read it as a monthly. But I'm not going to read The Death of Captain America and the Winter Soldier again. What I'm going to do is watch the movies again.
Yeah.
You know, the same thing with Mark Waid's Daredevil. I love Mark Waid, and I was glad to read his take on Daredevil, but Daredevil's not my favorite character.
Yeah.
You know, John Romita's Amazing Spider-Man? Yeah, I'm going to take that book out every few months and look at it. John Byrne's X-Men or Fantastic Four. Those are the things I'm going to go back to.
Yeah.
And that's the point of having a collection. And this has been a theme we've come back to a few times over the year is you should only keep the things that you're going to experience again. What you don't want is trophies dedicated to something you did, which is I read this book once.
Yeah.
You know, I got very heavy into back issue collecting over the last few years. I recollected all of the books I sold like back 10 years ago because I was finding really cheap prices on back issues. And then the last couple of years, I got to Silver Age, and now it's like now I'm, you know, looking at books like The Death of Gwen Stacy, the reveal of Norman Osborn, you know, the first appearance of Man-Bat, the first Black Panther. Like I'm looking at these books that are a couple of $100.
Yeah.
And what I have to think is, do I care enough about this book? And since I'm character loyal, Batman, Amazing Spider-Man, Fantastic Four, I want to take those as far as I can.
You're not liking the cheap characters, you know what I mean? This isn't like you're a big Legion fan, you know? It's got to be Batman and Spider-Man.
I don't need a long run on Moon Knight.
Right, you know?
But
you know what? Anyone could own a full run of Moon Knight. You know what I'm saying? It's just like a character
for
that
$100.
Obscure. Yeah, for probably less than $100. You could probably buy every issue of Moon Knight that's ever been published.
But that those are the lines you have to draw. It's like, I loved West Coast Avengers when it was coming out.
Yeah.
But I don't need it today. I was kicking myself early in the year because I remember 4 or 5 years ago, I passed up the entire run of Suicide Squad on eBay for like $60. And I really liked that John Ostrander run like back in the 80s when I was reading it. And I was like, oh, I'd like to have that whole run. And I was like, nah. And now it's like, you know, $350 because of the movie.
Right.
But when I go back to it, I'm like, do I really care that much? And now I'm looking at decades of Justice League and Iron Man and Green Lantern and Flash. And these are characters that I love. But I'm like, do I need this in my house?
Yeah.
Or like, should I just put it back in circulation?
Yeah, I mean, it's tricky. I think it's got to be you got to find the balance for it. Because I agree. I think there's a lot of things specifically this year I got that kind of I'm just going to get rid of to just kind of flush and clean and make some room. But it's like, there are scenes, like I have that exact same 5 Brubaker Cap omnibuses, but I want to reread that at some point. That was all a right. Great run, but I think it's something where
I'll tell you exactly how much you can make off of it. You want to sell.
And so that's the thing, so maybe I'll just sell them, but like I think it's something where it's just like there's a turning point in that series somewhere. It's like right before he died and Bucky takes over, maybe like those first 2 omnibuses keep and get rid of the other 2, you know what I mean? It's just
like I've had that Gene Colan second Captain America and the Falcon omnibus on my list for like a year, and I'm like, do I really want to read this? Like, do I care enough to spend the money on this and read it just because I have the first one, which has all the Lee and Kirby stuff?
Right. You know? Yeah, I did the same thing. I bought volume two because I was like, the origin of the Falcons.
Have you read it?
I've read some of it. I got into it. So here's the thing. I'm so backed up on all these books. A lot of the stuff when I'm buying, I'm just leaving it sealed in plastic with the idea of like, well, if I never get to it in a year, 2 years or 3 years, if I got to move out or I don't have room for this shit anymore, I'll just sell it. It'll be wrapped.
Right.
You know,
you can just put it on the shelf in the store. Or,
absolutely. Yeah. And that's a lot of the thought is just like, okay, I'll buy it. I'll bring it home. I'll put it on my shelf where I think it'll go. And then if I get to it, awesome. I'll unwrap it and read it. But I don't want to unwrap anything when I'm already reading fucking four different volumes right now. I'm still reading that Orion, Walter Simonson. And it's just like,
I was looking to sell that.
I like Walter Simonson. I like Orion as a character. I don't need this fucking book, but I had to buy it. And it's just like,
I was a book I was glad to read. And yeah. Now that I've read it, I'm done. I have the 3-volume Marvel Star Wars set.
Right. Yeah, and you were saying you really liked reading it, but it was
fun
like
to read the entire Marvel run because I came into it, you know, I was a kid and started reading comic books. It was Empire Strikes Back had already come out. So yeah. I never read the early issues and I dropped off and came back. And it was fun to read the whole thing in one go. I don't think I'm going to do it again.
Right.
And but that's I kind of want to wait because I feel like those omnibuses will be worth a lot more in 3 years.
See, that's the thing that kills me is like Daredevil's Bendis or Bendis's Daredevil run. Those omnibuses were like $200 years ago. Like after they first came out, they were out for like a year, went out of print. Now they were worth like $200. They might be worth like $350 now. And it's just like, oh, fuck, I could just get the trades for these.
But I don't want to read that run again, though.
I love that run.
I read
run.
It digitally and I was like, okay.
I love that
and
run.
And then I got to Brubaker and I was like, feel kind of done. And it was after season one of Daredevil where I was in a super Daredevil mood. It was good, but got a little, like all Bendis, it got a little long.
Yeah, and that's a big thing with him. He's on those books way too long. He finally, I don't think he completely overstayed his welcome on Daredevil, but there were a couple, it was getting to the point where he needed to wrap it up.
Yeah, he handed off to Brubaker at the right time. Yeah. It wasn't like Avengers.
Right, Avengers, I think, like, he was on that book, like, 5 years too long. Yeah. Like, he really ran those fucking books into the ground. It's the same thing with, like, his Ultimate Spider-Man, yeah.
Well, I just did that. I didn't want to go through buying the omnibus and all the oversized trades, and I bought the whole run on eBay after I had sold some stuff.
Yeah.
And where I stopped, I originally stopped like after that Sinister Six miniseries, and I was like, oh, I guess I'm getting bored because I was buying –
yeah.
They would do the oversized hardcovers every year, and so I reread the whole thing from issue one. And right after that point was the drop-off. I was like, wow, I quit at the right time.
Yeah.
And I suffered. I read up to I read the end of Miles Morales' first series. Because he's done 3 series with Miles.
Yeah.
So I read that first one and finished it. And I didn't enjoy. There was like 50 issues I did not enjoy.
Yeah.
And Bendis is a fast read. So it'd be 2-3 minutes. And I was home. So I'd read like 20 issues in a day. But It wasn't worth going back. Like, I left. It was one of the few times I thought that I left at the right time.
Yeah, that's an interesting thing. There's not a lot of books. Well, I disagree. I think there are actually a lot of books, I think, where you see and there's like, this is a good time to leave this book. And I think it's an easy decision to make. You might not always leave at the exact right time because it's tricky, but I think it's just like, there's usually enough breaks with like creators leaving or reboots where it's just like, all right, you know, they rebooted Star-Lord again. They came out like a new Star-Lord book. And it's just like, I don't need Star-Lord. It's like as soon as Guardians of the Galaxy, this book ends, I'm done with Guardians for a while. It's just like there's enough. Like Batman's a great example. That new 52 Batman ended. Sweet. All-Star Batman just ended. I'm done with Batman. I'll wait until the next big Batman thing comes along. It won't be long. But yeah. It's like I can check out, you know.
See, my worry is always, I go back to X-Men because I read X-Men heavily. I was too young for Cockrum and John Byrne. And I came in right when Paul Smith left and John Romita Jr. came in the first time.
Yeah.
Right around Secret Wars, because Secret Wars was my ground zero of Marvel.
Right.
And I loved it, and I stayed until Silvestri came on, and they were like in Australia and fighting cyborgs.
Yeah.
And I quit. And at that point, I had been transitioning over to DC anyway. And X-Men was the last
book
Marvel
to go.
Book I quit. I stayed with Spider-Man. And at that point, McFarlane was on Spider-Man. So I missed all of Jim Lee. And then when I came back to X-Men, which was around the time like the animated series started.
Yeah.
And it was like John Romita had come back and it was like Brandon Peterson. And everybody had been talking about this run that was amazing.
Yeah.
That was worth like $12, $15 an issue. And yep. I was like, I literally skipped all of it. And I always have that in the back of my head when I'm about to quit a book. I go, well, what's going to happen next? Like, am I not going to be there when the next great run kicks in?
This happened to me when Ultimate started, all the Ultimate books. I read Ultimate Spider-Man. And that was it. I was like, this is my one of these like goofy secondary universe books I'll read because it's good. And I skipped, and I think I was reading Ultimate X-Men too, but it was like my brother's. I skipped the Ultimates. And I was like, what the fuck? And I look back at those issues and I have the omnibus now. I was like, why was I skipping what would become one of my favorite books from that decade? Yeah. And I'm just like, ah, fuck it. I'll skip it. I don't need it.
I hate that feeling so much.
It drives me crazy.
You get a trade or you get a hardcover and you go, where was I?
Right. I was alive. Yeah. I was reading comics and I completely fucking missed this book.
Ultimate Spider-Man, I was reading in trade because I was reading Straczynski and Romita Jr. on Amazing. I was like, that's enough.
What more do you need? Yeah.
Yeah. And that run holds up better until if you ever want to read Straczynski's run on Spider-Man, just read Romita. When Romita
leaves,
you leave.
Yeah. He got out at a good time. Yeah. He's a dude, you know, credit that dude with, he's always seems to make the right decision. You know, he didn't get in on the Image stuff, but then he still has a career afterwards. You know what I'm saying? Yep. It's just like, in the middle of the, at the point in history he's making these decisions, it might not look like he's making the best decision, right? Because all these Image guys were making like $1 billion and he didn't. But it's like he's still had a longer, more successful career. He's, you know, he's kept his shit together. You know, those original Image guys aren't the most well-adjusted group of fucking people.
No, and you know what? When Romita started to regret not creating his own characters, he made this big deal. He's like, I got this book called The Gray Area, and it was 3 issues and out.
Yeah.
And the next book he did was Kick-Ass, and there have been 2 movies of that.
Right, and that's the thing. You know, he made a bunch of royalties off Kick-Ass because he co-created it with, what's his name?
Marlar.
You know, so, it's tricky. But, yeah, overall, this year...
What are you looking forward to in 2017? We're close to the end of the hour.
All right, here's
2016 was awful. Like we've dug really deep to find good things in 2016.
The only thing I think of when I think of like the next year is just what the next movies coming out are, because I don't know enough about comics. I know enough 3 months in advance, but I'm always looking 3 months in advance in comics because I have to do the ordering for the store. I think 2017, it's just like Spider-Man, Thor, Guardians of the Galaxy 2, those all I'm very excited about. I'm really excited for Wonder Woman. I think Wonder Woman's going to be a great movie. The King Kong movie comes out, looks ridiculous, but I heard they're going to have him fight Skull Godzilla.
Island,
so fucking go nuts. Make him 1,000 feet tall, whatever
we'll
you want to do.
Star Wars Episode 8?
Yeah, Star Wars Episode 8 I'm excited about. Is Justice League next year or is that 2 years from now?
No. I think Wonder Woman's before... I'm still waiting for the next great DC movie because Batman vs. Superman, I did not have a good feeling about. But Suicide Squad, I was like, this is going to be the good one. And then I was like, ugh.
Yeah.
So, like, I'm so worried that Wonder Woman, we're both saying, oh, this is going to be the good one.
It looks great.
I'm so worried I'm going to be sitting out of the theater going, ugh.
Yeah, I really hope not.
But you know what?
But I do have a sneaking suspicion that's what we're going to be doing.
Yeah, and I mean, Justice League, I don't have high hopes for. They've already said that they pushed Justice League 2 back, and they pushed Ben Affleck's Batman up, which tells me that Justice League 1 is not looking that great. And that
so it's what they're already filming 1 and 2 at the same time?
They were supposed to, and they're not now.
Wow.
They were supposed to come out like Avengers.
And here's the thing that really bums me out about this is like, you know, they're going to fuck up Justice League. Like they fucked up Superman versus Batman. So we aren't going to get to see a Superman versus Batman fight for like another 20 years before they get that shit right. With a new reboot, with a whole new group of characters and a whole thing, we're going to be like old men by this time this happens. They're going to fuck up Justice League, and it's just like they're going to ruin like Darkseid or something. You know, they're going to take villains and they're going to shit on them and ruin them so that we won't be able to use them for the next time around. So the next time around, we're going to get like fucking Amazo or whatever. And it's just like, That's the thing. It's just like they're being reckless with this shit. It's like when they fucked up that John Carter movie or the Lone Ranger. Fuck these guys that fucked up that movie, because that Lone Ranger movie, there could be a fucking trilogy of those movies. It's so easy to make. It's so fucking easy. Westerns are cheap to make, and they just fucked it up. And it's just like, for like the next 20 years, no one's going to try to make a Lone Ranger movie because fucking Johnny Depp had to run around with a goddamn dead bird on his face.
We are, speaking of DC... we are getting a Gotham City Sirens movie that's going to function as a Harley Quinn movie.
Yeah, I guess so. This is what the Harley Quinn movie morphed into.
Yeah, but they haven't mentioned if Gotham City Sirens is a book that I cannot fucking finish in back issues because they're $20 a piece now. Mm-hmm. They went from like cover price to like $5 to like $15. Variety Comics, which was this really old comic store in Chicago. I remember the first time I ever visited Chicago. We were coming up, I think, was it Lincoln? Is it on Lincoln? But we passed, and used to have these big murals of, like, Superman and Spawn. And
that's
Batman.
On Lawrence, yeah. Lawrence and Western.
Lawrence Western. We're coming up Western. And
it closed.
It closes here.
This year?
Another thing. The only good thing about it was they had a big stack of Gotham City Sirens for, like, less than cover.
Yeah.
So I got a half the series. But it was Paul Dini. It was Catwoman.
I might have some of those issues.
I'll tell you which ones I'm missing.
Yeah.
It was Catwoman, Poison Ivy, and Harley. And anything Harley now has gone through the roof. So the movie might be Catwoman, Poison Ivy, and Harley. Could be Batgirl, could be Huntress.
Yeah.
All we really know is it's going to be Harley and other Batman type women.
You don't think Batman will be in it?
Yeah, I'm sure Ben Affleck will be in it for like 5 minutes.
Do like what he did in Suicide Squad?
Exactly.
Yeah.
But you know, I'm really curious about that Ben Affleck Batman movie.
I think give the guy a shot. I even like the dude that plays Superman. Just fucking, for Christ's sake,
okay,
let the guy smile every once in a while. Jesus.
He's Superman.
The guy's got a $1 million smile. I've seen it in tons of other stuff. You know, let him fucking smile every once in a while. He might actually look like Superman. Yeah, I don't know. What do you got for 2017? You got anything coming good?
I'm all about Spider-Man Homecoming.
Just Homecoming?
It's partially that I've been in a Spidey mood, but it also looks great. They did such a good job with him in Civil War, and we were talking about this when the trailer came out. We have never had a truly great Spider-Man movie. The Raimi movies are good, and number two is really good, but they all have something in them that just holds it back.
Yeah.
And this could be the movie where nothing is held back. He fights the Shocker. He fights the Vulture. He's funny. His eyes move.
He's got the webbing under his arms.
Yeah, Robert Downey Jr.'s in it.
Yeah, I hope they don't use too much Robert Downey Jr. I like that he's in it. Keep it toned down, guys.
It's a Spider-Man movie.
Exactly. Remember, it's a Spider-Man movie. I don't need the Avengers to show up.
They don't have to worry about Spider-Man selling. I mean,
no, it'll make $1 billion either way, but whether or not it'll be good. And I think,
but they don't
overload it with Tony Stark. He's great.
And I don't think they will. I think they don't think they're going to have to hedge their bets and like, we'll kind of make this Iron Man 4 so you see it.
Yeah.
Which is sort of what Thor is going to be of like, it's a Thor-Hulk team-up movie, because the Thor movies haven't been that great.
Jeff Goldblum's going to be in it.
Yeah,
I'm very excited for that.
Jeff Goldblum is going
to
be in it.
Yeah, that's going to be awesome. So stuff like that, like I said, there's still good stuff to look out, but it's like I said, it's always with like movies. It's like that's the only thing I think that there's such an early lead on what's coming out or these big movies for the year. It's just like, you know, as far as like comics and stuff, it's just like I'm glad Stuart Immonen's going to come and do Amazing Spider-Man for a while. That's going to be
Norman
cool.
Norman Osborn is coming back. Slott's staying on it. Spider-Man continues to interest me. Batman's good. We were talking about it this week at the shop. You saying how people love Detective, and I like Batman.
Detective just got IGN released. They do a year-end thing too. And, so the best superhero comics, and Detective was one of the ones they listed as, like, this is one of the best comics of the year.
I'm reading it. I like Batman and Detective equally, which is not something I can say all the time, but none of the Batman books is getting me excited.
Yeah, the only one I was excited about was All-Star Batman, and that was just because Romita, and he was drawing a crazy...
And he's never done a Batman book
before. Right, exactly.
So,
What's he on next, dude? There's nothing? We got nothing
for
him?
He hasn't announced anything. They have to put him on Justice League at some point. Because they have to let Romita just draw the DC universe.
Yeah.
Like, he's been at DC for a few years now. He's been at Marvel his entire career.
Right.
He did every book at Marvel except the Fantastic Four, where he did a special here and there. So he, like, just give him everything at once. He's not going to do The Flash. He's not going to do Green Lantern. He might do Wonder Woman. But, like, he's not going to spend, you know, 2 years on Justice League Dark or Constantine. Let him draw Justice League and let him just draw every character.
Yeah. And that's the thing. It's just like, none of the Justice League books are great right now. Brian Hitch is doing a shit Justice League book where they just keep fighting giant things above the city. It's just like, how many times can we watch Avengers 1? It's like, it's the same thing. It's just like, they just fight a ship full of aliens. It's like, I don't know. He needs to get off that book.
You know what? Do us a favor. Tell us what you are looking forward to in 2017. Send me a tweet at Not In My Book on Twitter. That is the one feed for Caffeinated Comics. Or you can go to our Facebook page and you can leave a comment on one of our postings, or you can comment yourselves, and that's facebook.com/caffeinatedcomics. Thanks again to Chicago TARDIS. Last week we ran another one of the panels I did with the two Nathans, Nathan Skreslet and Nathan Laws, which was a lot of fun. And it was great to not have to record a podcast on Christmas Day. Thanks to that. Oh, also, before we go, Bill Monroe, our good friend Bill Monroe, who helps us with the Caffeinated Comics West Coast Division, has begun a new podcast on his own called 2 Minute Talk Tips. And it's about public speaking. So it's not entirely nerd related, but it's really about kind of getting your ideas across in a clear manner. And he kind of found a hole that wasn't being covered by other podcasts. I listened to the first one. It's fantastic. I will be on one of the episodes soon. I believe it'll be the second or the third one.
Yeah.
But you can find that on iTunes. And he believe he's on Libsyn. And you can follow him at Training Bill on Twitter, where he'll be posting his latest podcast. So we wish him the best because he's awesome, and he will continue to come on here and talk about Star Trek because he's the only other person that understands it.
He's the only one
in our small circle. And Steven.
You can find me at 19 South LaGrange Road in LaGrange, Illinois.
And all through 2017?
Maybe we'll see. Definitely that's the store I'll be the most commonly found at. Correct.
Caffeinated Comics is a Not In My Book production.
Take that, meatball!